The beautiful book of Philemon, at 25 verses long, tells the church how to live beyond charity. Our question this evening is, what does it mean to live beyond charity? Isn't charity enough? To begin, we need to know that the book of Philemon is one of Paul's prison letters. Paul's purpose for writing the intercession on behalf of Onesimus was to persuade Philemon to liberate Onesimus from slavery through brotherly love, and through discipleship to strengthen Onesimus' serving God in the church community that met in Philemon's house. Although this letter was addressed to an individual, it was to be read to the group of Christians who gathered in Philemon's house in verses 1 through 3. Paul wrote this brief appeal to move Philemon towards reconciliation through brotherly love in verses 8 through 13, which is tonight's text. His other purposes were to commend Philemon for showing compassion to other believers in verses 1 through 7, to announce his plans to visit Philemon after his anticipated release from prison, and to send greetings from his associates in verses 23 through 25. Philemon means one who is kind, and it is evident in the letter he lives this way in relationship with people. Philemon came to faith in Christ as a result of Paul's influence in verse 19. Philemon was wealthy, owned slaves, and was a member of a thriving Christian community, maybe even its leader, for the community met in his house, as we can see in verses 1 through 2. Onesimus was one of Philemon's slaves. Slaves were more like household servants. Yet Onesimus ran away for reasons that are not stated in the text. Onesimus made his way to Rome, where he could hide in the crowd. Being a runaway was a very serious matter in that world. While in Rome, Onesimus ended up in prison and encountered the Apostle Paul. While both were in prison, Paul led Onesimus to Christ. And it was there that Onesimus became a disciple and began to serve God in prison with Paul. While both were in prison, they also established their relationship with God and found their bond in Christ. The relationship of Philemon, Onesimus, and Paul found this bond in living the faithfulness of Christ. And so Paul had begun educating and discipling Onesimus when they were in prison. And Paul was writing this letter to ensure that this would happen when he returned to Philemon. Key in all this is the brotherly love manifested by Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon. And such love resulted in effective discipleship. And here we return to our earlier question. For Philemon, living beyond charity meant seeking reconciliation with Onesimus, a slave and prisoner. It also meant providing hospitality and acceptance. Too often, charity means not taking action and simply providing money, resources, and never getting involved in the lives of those to whom charity is extended. Instead, the sort of brotherly love between Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon became an act of discipleship, stepping out in faith. Only hospitality and reconciliation can nourish discipleship. For example, in verses 15 through 17, Paul then makes his appeal. His instructions to Philemon are, have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more so to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Welcome him as you would me. And this is in 15 and 17 of Philemon. How Philemon lived beyond charity and was hospitality and reconciliation And the church was welcoming to Onesimus. Onesimus was a brother in Christ. He was no longer a piece of property. I have a friend who said, the letter of Philemon tells us to get involved, to just do it. And we can see that the apostle Paul has been active. Philemon and the church he attends were living Christ's faithfulness, which transformed life through hospitality and reconciliation. The testimonies of Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus are bound together, showing that the life of the church and the power of the Holy Spirit transforms individuals into leaders and servants of God in their community. Philemon teaches us that the main task of the church and its social relationships is that brotherly love changes every relationship. It also teaches that discipleship is the visible community of the church, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer says of Philemon. And in that visible community, by showing the strength of Paul's relationship with the church and Philemon. These points now lead to Paul's rhetorical strategy of persuasion in the plea for Onesimus in verses 8 through 13. Paul appealed to Philemon to take Onesimus back and for the church to welcome him. Paul did this to empower Onesimus to seek reconciliation with Philemon. This letter illustrates the theological foundation of Paul's conviction. Note Paul's rhetorical strategy. Paul praises Philemon, calling him our dear friend and co-worker in verse 1. He tells him, I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. Verses 5 through 7. Paul binds his own situation to Philemon and Onesimus as an old man in verse 9, and as a prisoner of Jesus Christ in verses 9 and 13. Hospitality and reconciliation stands behind Paul's appeal to brotherly love, which is verified as he makes this appeal as Christ's ambassador in verse 9. This kind of appeal to intercede for someone as Christ's ambassador rather than the more typical apostolic exhortation makes sense in a letter that seeks what may be a costly partnership. This collaborative effort in Philemon's response was likely going to be met with some resistance from without. The church Philemon was involved in would be a place of safety. This shows a great respect for the recipient of the letter, the people who worship God with him, and their life being identified with life in Jesus Christ. This relationship emphasizes the connective tissues of church community. It is an illustration of the teacher-pupil relationship or the leader-convert relationship. Paul did indeed lead Onesimus to Christ while both were in prison and had discipled Onesimus. Onesimus, after being released from prison, was being sent out with a letter in the manner of Jesus Christ's disciples had gone out with a message. Responding to discipleship, Onesimus was taking good news to Philemon. Paul perhaps referred to his aged condition in verse 9 to remind Philemon of the suffering he had undergone for the gospel and that may have left him weak as an individual. But he was invigorated from Philemon's compassion and the church that met in his house, in verse 7. His appeal to Philemon as a father for his son in faith ties the growth of Onesimus to that of the church. Paul calls Onesimus my child in verse 10. Here is the crux of this letter for Philemon and the church to acknowledge. Discern that Onesimus' discipleship had begun in prison and was to continue in the church. Paul tells Philemon that if Onesimus had wronged him in any way or owed anything to the house, Philemon was to charge that to Paul's account, and the apostle would repay it himself. And he did this so nothing would get in the way of hospitality and reconciliation. He adds, I say nothing about your owing me, even yourself, in verses 18 and 19. In the text, it is evident that Paul was writing an intercession for Onesimus as he would write about himself. This poignant analogy is important for the reader, as it can be seen that Paul does really consider Onesimus his brother. Onesimus's debt can go directly to Paul's account. Philemon must be concerned with the state of Onesimus's growing in Christ, not distracted with the matters and the matters of his estate, which is the rhetorical thrust of this letter on living beyond charity. This reminds me of my brother. He lives in Lansing, Michigan. He has been in and out of jail. Family and friends have tried to guide him towards connecting with church community. He has shown signs of wanting this, yet there is no desire on his part at present to respond as Onesimus did. When my brother is ready to respond, I would respond in hospitality and reconciliation. I will share how visiting with prisoners at Celebration Fellowship Church could help him in his growing in Christ through sharing his testimony. Living beyond charity as brothers, we could share in the life-changing way of Christ's faithfulness. Paul's purpose for writing the intercession on behalf of Onesimus was to persuade Philemon to liberate Onesimus from slavery through brotherly love, and through discipleship, strengthen Onesimus' serving God in the church community that met in Philemon's house. N.T. Wright says this about the rhetoric of the letter to Philemon. The logic of these verses fills in the details of Paul's implicit narrative. Paul is bound to Onesimus with bonds of love. In sending him back, he is sending his very heart in verse 12. Yet Paul is also bound in ties of fellowship and mutual love and obligation with Philemon in verses 17 through 20. He can therefore appeal to Philemon to accept Onesimus as he would accept Paul himself. If Onesimus owes anything, Philemon is to put it down on Paul's account. This combination of representation and substitution has a familiar ring to anyone at home in Paul's varied accounts of the cross. What we see here is a lived-out gospel of the death of Jesus Christ. Once we realize that, we should be able to see, as well, the lived-out gospel of the resurrection. Onesimus is to be slave no longer, but a brother of Philemon, because both are redeemed children of the one true God. The power of brotherly love and its relationship to discipleship is the content of this letter. The beautiful book of Philemon tells us how to live beyond charity. We live in brotherly love, and through discipleship, strengthen those serving God and the church community. Thank you for letting me share Paul's letter to Philemon.